Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
That follows it comes with revelation. All of a sudden you can see what Jesus has done, and you know that death has no power over you, whether in death or in life. You're a problem to Satan. Hallelujah. It's a revelation. Hallelujah. That the beauty of your life is not really going to come out of anything that you achieve here. Those who are carnal, those who think only in terms of this world, they only evaluate the success of their relationship with God based on what they have. But when you get into another level, in the innermost court, the blessedness of even having the audience of God, that when you call upon Him, it is not angels He sends, He comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, tell neighbor, we overcame. Listen to me, Elijah didn't have this reality. As powerful as he was waiting to see what manner of day it will be, the day that the blood of Jesus will touch this earth. As powerful as David was, he prophesied about it, but he didn't see it. Do you know how powerful that blood is? That blood looks at somebody who has fallen in the same sin over and over again, and he says, go and sin no more. You don't know what that means. As a human being, you can, if mama, somebody steals your money in the shop, after, like, in fact, you will not wait for a second time. That first time, you are gone. Which is understandable. I used to tell people jokingly that I prefer a fornicator to a thief. Now, I'm not saying sugar and fornicate. I'm just telling you that. Because when you fornicate, you are doing yourself. But when you steal my money, you are doing me. So, I cannot. This one, God will forgive you. But this money you have stolen, I will not. That's why God is not a man. Hallelujah. You may be a pastor, but I have a problem with forgiveness. But this God, that blood is like a chemical reaction. It's like whatever acid touches, it doesn't leave it the same way. Hallelujah. That is a revelation of why, who you are in Christ. The president of a nation who is not born again is not up to you before God. You don't understand what I'm saying? We are not all equal. A woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter needs healing. Jesus said, I cannot take that which belongs to the children and give it to outsiders. My children need to eat first. That means in God's prerogative of mercy, those who need healing first are His children. He's not saying he will not heal those that are outside. He's saying that in terms of preferential treatment, He will heal you first before He considers somebody outside. What a mighty God we serve. Listen to me. It is the oracle you honor that will help you. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? You see, some people ask and say, oh, we don't know if Jesus really came. And that's you. That's you. We have gone past that level. We know He came. We know the burden He took away from our hearts when we met Him. We know this is not a religion. We know this is the love of God. Hallelujah. You can read some other texts of other religion. You will never see there where that God says He loves them. You will never see it because those spirits are not capable of love. Do you know the reason why Satan is still breathing today? Because God is love. If God was more, it will not breathe. Oh. Immediately we will stop breathing. Then I will clean the whole world and start afresh. In case there are any sons of Belial still waiting. I use water, kill everybody, then start afresh. But God in his infinite mercy allow everybody to live in the hope that peradventure one day you will come back. But Satan can't come back. Oh. So we overcame. It's a serious matter. We overcame. When you go through challenges in life, those are the things you must keep in your heart. That I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer. And it's not because of you. It's because of what Jesus did.
Hallelujah.
Give your neighbor a high five and say, we overcame. Now say it with faith. We overcame. Hallelujah. Let's read quickly from Galatians chapter 3. I think we all know the reason why we are here today. And it's not about Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. Galatians chapter 3. I wanted to comment on, I don't know, is it my mic or is there something wrong with this mic? I'm waiting. Do I have to say something? No rocket science. Hallelujah. There's something, I don't know. Pastor David, are we good? Are we good now? Okay. Let's read from verse 11 down, all the way to verse 14. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by what? The just shall live by what? Now, when you read the scripture, it's good for you to pay attention to the major tenses there so that you don't miss out on the minor ones. Verse 12. And the law is not of what? The law is not of what? What does that mean? When the scripture says the law is not of faith. And you need to understand what I'm saying here. The law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall what? Shall live by them. Verse 13. I don't know, maybe I should quickly talk about that. In verse 12. The law is not of faith, meaning that you do not require any particular response of faith to obey the law. The law says thou shalt not steal, and you do not steal. Simple. Whether you believe it or not, irrelevant. People obey the law for different reasons. And it may not necessarily be because they love the law. You may not even like the government that is in power. But the moment they swear the government in, you have to deal with whatever they say. Like now, they are trying to package so many people and give to you. And they want to help you make a decision. May you not be deceived. May you not be deceived, though. It's a game we play every 4 years. And some of us have become extremely good at playing it. They will, you go and eat amala at the joint. You will carry pompon on your head as to show that you are once poor. They are trying to target your mind psychologically. But you know, and I know, that on Twitter, this person used to fight. This man, if he drives his Ferrari, you can't stop him. Then they say pastors are not taking care of Nigerians. Is it pastors that are supposed to? Is the people you voted for that are supposed to take care of you? It's not the pastor's work. Pastor, church is not United Nations. Say amen. The church is the ground and the pillar of truth, which means the first thing your pastor owes you is the word of God. Come on now. Are you here? What your pastor owes you is the teaching, systematic teaching of the word of God that makes you able to live in a society, and that society becomes purified. Like you are like salt. You are like the salt of the earth. So that the day they put you in a government office, there's 100 billion. You won't take one naira inside. What's the essence of giving you money if all of us are thieves? And we are stealing in the name of God. And they arrest 10 people in this office who stole money. This one is Elijah. This one is Solomon. This one is Micah. This one is Favor. This one is David. This one is Joy. This one is all of them. Lovely names. Christian names. But they are thieves. They work. Please don't get it. If someone comes here now, stands outside and is begging for money in front of a church, as emotional as it seems, that's not what that person needs. You are not doing good by giving that person money. You do the person good by bringing the person to hear the word of God. That word of God will make that person stop begging. If you give the person money, you solve the problem just for that day. When you come to church and you belong, if you belong to a family, are you with me? If you belong to a family and there's one of your siblings that is not doing well, do you people just continue to feed him? After some time, your dad will call him and say, young man, what do you want to do? If book is not your way, what is your way? Eh? They will ask you, I want to be a fashion designer. Oh, I would like to be a mechanic. I would like to... You mention something that you feel you are interested in. Then they will not give you money to be eating. They will register you for training. You go and learn how to become proficient in that area so that you are not ashamed. No real family will be spoon-feeding their child. They will train him. Come on, are you here? No real family what? Spoon-feeds their child. At a level, they will prefer to train you because if not, you'll be a burden. It's the same thing in a church. A church is a spiritual family. So when I say this, don't let it shock you. I assist people and I give people money. But I know that that's not the best thing for them. Do you still love me? Yes. Does it matter? It doesn't matter. The scripture says that it might be of faith, meaning that you do not require any particular response to obey the law. You will all obey the law, but for different reasons. Some people don't like embarrassment, so they don't follow one way. They don't drive through one way. Not because their mind, they have already taken that road. In their mind, they've followed that one way, but because there's a camera somewhere around there in Ikeja, so they all obey. Say daddy is a good man. But really, in my mind, I've driven through that place 10 times. I'm talking about myself because I need to get home. it's what it is. But though, even though I don't follow the one way, but in my mind, I followed it. There was a day I was driving. I had issues with registering my car. But it wasn't my fault. It was the government officials. So I drive my car like that. So I was driving with my wife towards Ikeja, and the policeman stopped me. I was wearing down my white turtleneck. So I looked like one janded brother, in a big car. So I didn't flinch. I just brought the windshield down. Good evening, officer. How are you today? The moment they see you are not afraid of them, they don't know who you are again. So they say, even man is here. I say, park. I didn't do that. I just say, hello. Hi. Hello, officer. How are you today? I just turned my head one direction. He look at me, look at my wife. Say, go. I told my wife, I said, this guy is not wise. I said, she'd have told me to park. Then my Oyinbo will now become Oga Beg. People obey the law. He said that it might. He said, give me that scripture in verse 12. He said, the law is not of faith. That a man obeys the law doesn't mean he's responding to God. Are you with me? That a man is obeying the law of God. And I told you on Friday that when you hear the law, Paul referring to the law, he's talking about different things. We have the law of Moses. We have the law of sin and death. We have the law of the spirit of life. So when you hear the law, don't just assume he's talking about something bad. He's talking about those documented things in the scripture. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit murder. Paul was saying that the law is not of faith. You can obey them. You may not commit adultery because you are afraid of your wife. Because her father is a retired general. They say, I like this brother. He's just as handsome as he is, very calm. You don't know anything. It is the wife he's afraid of. Because the wife will not say anything. The boys will just come from the barracks and pick the man. And they pick him, he's gone for 3 days. By the time they return him, he's a changed man. A lot of people confuse obeying what is in the scriptures to mean that they are Christians. That's what I'm telling you. For you to see the law of faith, there's another law in scripture called the law of faith. And maybe we should look at some of these laws sometime in the future. The law of faith, for you to dispense the law of faith, the first thing you must deal with is the law of Moses. It's a self-righteous law. One guy came to Jesus and he said, tell me what I must do to be saved. And Jesus said what? Keep the commandment. What did the man say? He said, He says, like, Isa, because we are just meeting, you don't know me. If you know me, you won't be saying this thing. I thought you're a prophet. All these things, from when I was a child, Pastor David, I thought you said that man is a prophet. He didn't get it too. He's supposed to see it. If he's a real prophet, he's supposed to see it. That I've been following God. I don't see her more. Now wait till I see. Now here I tell you, I don't see anything. The man said, from when I was very young, I've been fulfilling all these laws. The Bible says Jesus smiled. Meaning that he spoke the truth. If he was lying, Jesus would not smile. But also meaning that your knowledge is yet incomplete. Are you with me? Jesus smiled. Meaning that, okay, you have tried. But he also smiled because your knowledge is not what? It's not complete. Jesus now said, there is one more thing. The true test of a man that has kept the law is what? The test of love. And the scripture tells us that there are three things that always go together. One is faith, one is hope, and the other is love. And the greatest of this is what? So we are going to test the reason why you have been following God. Huh? Maybe God is only good for you when things are going well for you. Let us test it. So they brought the man to the laboratory, put all his kaya, his goods. How much do you have in that account? This is $25 million. What about this? £75 million. What's this? This is Ferrari. Okay, this is Ferrari. I'll be okay. What about this? I say Lamborghini. What about this? I say under pilot. Okay. And no, this one under pilot is for my drivers. Okay. Remove that one. What else do you have? Okay, my dog. My Australian dog. Okay, but I bought it in Dubai, so it's very expensive. Okay, add it. Everything is out in Banana Island. See, this guy is the kind of church member we like to have as a pastor. Because if we want to buy land, I will not discuss with you. I'll just call him. Brother Marcus, we have found one land. It's 100 million. I say, Pastor, don't worry. I've told you anything about this church. Don't worry. I say, God bless you. God bless you. Then you see Pastor comes out and he's talking now. The power of God. I know why I believe. It doesn't matter. God is there. All these braggadocios. But it's because of Brother Marcus. Everybody loves a Brother Marcus. God, Brother Marcus doesn't argue. Once it is God, take. He's not quoting Bible. Once he's God, take. Is it for the new drum set? Take. Hallelujah. Now that I want to buy drum sets, how much? Say, let's go and look for a cheaper price. Better. No. Brother Marcus, what are you doing? We are discussing. What for what? Say the new building. Say no. Nobody should discuss. Well, how much is it? Say take 100 million. Bam. Pastor say, where's Brother Marcus? They say, just give 100 million. Say, go on. He's going. Call him. Let him come back. Kneel down. Power. Give him an anointing. God make me Brother Marcus. Amen. Somebody's receiving it too. And we all should trust God to get to that level where we don't pray to be a blessing to others. Your school fees, how much? Okay, where's your mom? Bam. Go and pay your school fees. No, I say, you know, call me tomorrow. Come. It's a lie. Do it now. Because used to wear big suit. Do it now. Do it now. You will get there. I never enter my message. Now, this verse 12, they cause problem. Jesus said, there's one more thing you are lacking. Hey, you see, and this thing is beginning to bother me, Pastor David. That is it possible for a man to be so gracious with his goods and yet not be walking in love? What Jesus was simply telling him is that, Oga, you are not walking in love. Everything you did to get to this point was because of you. Even though you fulfilled the Ten Commandments, but you are self-centered. Go and sell everything. If you know you love God, let's start from scratch. What I would have expected was for the man to begin to sing and begin to dance. If this is how my master will be glorified, where is Michael? Alec, let's sing one song. What I expected him to have done as a real Christian is to be crying and worshiping. And be singing a song like, all I want is for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high.
All I want. For you to believe that.
And I would have expected Jesus to have said, which kind of thing is this? And then he will kneel down and say, Father, if this is the way you'll be glorified, let me give even my life. Do you know why Jesus could make such a demand? Because even Jesus was not going to leave that earth without laying his own life. Are you with me? Even Jesus. So Jesus was not asking for anything that he himself would not do. That's how pricey your salvation is. Everything. You to be glorified. You to be lifted.
It's for you to be glorified, you to be lifted.
Listen. On that day when we see him, it will not be a question of how much you give as offering. It will be a question of how much is left. Did you give all? Did you use your life as an offering for the advancement of the cause of Jesus Christ? Or did you keep a part back for yourself, like Ananias? Did you keep something back? If he gave us his best, the only way it will be of faith is also when we stand before him. And say, Father, everything that I have to my name, my master's degree, my PhD, everything I have to my name, my years of banking experience, everything I have to my name, my wife, my children, my house, my little dog, I count as dung. Until you see the measuring balance between Christ and who you have become, and you count that which people associate with you as nothing, so that you may win Christ, then it is of the law. Do you know that even to achieve this realm, it's not really like you going to arrange everything you have at home. That is the mistake somebody else is making. You want to go and arrange all your clothes. Ah, today, I give it all for Jesus. Who sent you? Who sent you? Who sent you? The issue is not whether you now go home and say, all my clothes, all my shoes. No. It is the willingness of the heart that any day God says, yeah, you bring it. That everything that you find around you now is a trust. Something that God gives to you that, Mama, hold it for me. Hold it for me. All I want is for you.
For you to be glorified. For you to be lifted.
One more time, come on. All I want. Verse 13, Galatians 2. I have not done justice to verse 12, but think about it. For Christ has redeemed us from what? Christ has redeemed us from what? So, I introduce to you another law. The cause of the law. This law operates by condemnation. By cause. Do you know what it means to redeem? Come, my brother. Now, this brother is in the slave market of sin. But that's in the spirit realm. That's in the spiritual. In the physical world, he may be in Chevron. Say amen. Where else do you like to work? Like U.S. Embassy? U.S. Embassy. Good. So, you know, some of you have not been observing this brother. He's a good husband material. But the reason why people are not noticing him is because his U.S. job has not landed. But by the time you notice me, self, I will not stand. I will not allow you to see him again. You will say to me before you see him. You must have eyes to see what has potential. It's not later. I said, and I to be, at least not to be will be great. It's a lie. What do you know? If anybody comes to you, tell me. Because now I'm the only one that is seeing your glory now. It's very bright. Instead of you to be greeting him now, you carry your nose. Very soon your job will land. So when you land, any of you come and see me. Because I'm the one that was prophesying about it. Now look at me. This guy may be doing very well physically. But spiritually, do your hand like this. He has shackles. He's the head of the visa department. But spiritually, he's a slave. Slave. They tie his leg, tie his neck. Then there's one thing choking him here. So, but physically, he's wearing coat, not suit, coat. You see. Hello, Mr. Watson. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Speaking English. But in the speech, we are the ones flogging him. Just tie the thing. Which is, you know, that's why he cannot even give offering. Because his hand is tight. So tight. Tie leg. Tie his heart. Tie everything. So one day I was preaching and God wanted to have mercy on him. So what God did, I'm explaining Galatians 3:13. So Jesus came. Please, how much do you have there? Give me some money. Like $5,000 or something. Anything you have, bring. Don't claim Naira. The Naira has collapsed. So this is $500. Let's assume. Okay, pounds. I think euro is even better. So let's just assume this is pieces of total of 500 pounds. So this is the taskmaster. Please stand up. You are the one that is disturbing his life. Okay. Aha. I even have dollars here. So you see. This is a very rich church. Wow. This is powerful. Please stand up. So you are the one that is controlling this man. You will not let him rest because his forefathers have been owing you. So may I now come. You know what it means to redeem? Give me another translation. What do you have for redeem? There's another word for redeem. Huh? You said what? Did I hear something? Purchase back. To buy back. Purchase back. Do we have any? Please. Men of God. Any other word? Really? Retrieve. What else? Recover. So we need this man back. We have been looking for him. But you say we are that he's not free. So I say, okay, how much is your money? He say, it's $300. I say, only, jale, jale. He say, yes. So now, you say, well, like, I cannot even, you know. This one is a deriuku. Deriuku, that's 300 naira. Eh? But I now look at you and I say, so let's assume this 600 pounds. So I give you, please, collect those of you who gave me money. Because I don't know, I just saw money in my hand, though. I don't know who gave me. So I give her not 300 pounds, but 600. Complete buyback. If there is anything remaining about this man's life and destiny that was not declared, it has been covered in the differential. Then we remove the thing, remove the whatever. Then I now say to him, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, which means the curse came into effect when you violated the law of God. Oh. It's not just that you are born in sin. It's that you went ahead and you fornicated. You worshipped other gods. Some, you didn't worship other gods, but you followed your friends to their village ceremony or something that they did somewhere that they called their traditional whatever. You didn't participate, but you sat with them. You have violated the law of God. So because of that, a curse has been instituted against you, which is a spiritual judgment for violating the law of God. I don't know if somebody is hearing me now. So I talk about the law of Moses, I talk about the law of sin and death, and I talk about the curse of the law. There are three different things, but they are similar. So this guy got into this by violating the law of God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just a little sin, but it is a sin. And this thing was established. And the scripture said, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. So what Jesus was saying here is that I paid for your sins and for the crime you have committed because I have already been hung on the cross for you. And I paid completely. I didn't pay the 300 naira. I left change. That's what it means. I left change. If you don't understand Galatians 3:13, you will not understand why you can be delivered once and for all. Even when we pray for people, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, go out. The reason why that prayer is being answered is because of Galatians 3:13. When we do deliverance, fast, 7 days, 10 days. The reason why God is hearing those prayers is because of Galatians. Give me verse 14. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm free. Tell neighbor, I am completely free. Listen to me. If it took the work of faith in the finished work of Christ to set you free based on the deposit and the full payment he has made, there is nothing physical about your life that will complete that redemption. Did you hear what I said? Do you understand what I said? If the work of faith in your life was what delivered you, There is nothing physical you will do that will add to what Jesus has done. It's done. It's done. It's done. I'm telling you. Because what Satan always wants is to put you in a tight corner where, as Nigerians, you'll be practicing traditional Christianity, African Christianity. Hey, you know, Jesus has done it, but what? Are you the one that paid? Are you the one that paid? They say you are owing 300. They gave the person 1,000. Is even this lady that... Sorry, I forgot money in your hand. Eh, okay. Make it no bill, I say, with the share money where we come away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody was owing you 700 naira or 300 naira. Somebody paid 1,000. That means you are now the one owing that person that was in chain. The works were completed before the foundation of the world. There is no cause that is operating your life today that is not illegal. That the blessing of what? Abraham might come upon who? Through who? Through obeying the law. No, look at it. Through obeying the law. Maybe you didn't read it well, though. Let's look at this thing. Let me wear my glasses, my spectacles. That the blessing of Abraham might come by offering your own child on the Mount of Moriah. Is that what is there? Through Jesus Christ, the one who also stood like you. And was crucified. The one who died forgiving sins of the criminals behind him. That we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through what? Now I ask you a question. What is the blessing of Abraham? Question. What is the blessing? Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham. We sing it in children's church. I am blessed in the morning, in the noon, and the evening. Oh, hallelujah. You can't sing this kind of song and be lost in. Abraham, blessings are mine. Wonder. Some of you are too proud to sing it. But those are the songs that we were singing as children. That morning in the noon, in the evening. Hallelujah. One more time. Come on.
Abraham, blessings are mine.
Listen up.
Abraham, blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning, I am blessed in the evening, because Abraham, blessings are mine.
Well, how many of you sang that song as young children? Now, how many of you asked your teachers what the promise, what Abraham's blessings are? If you have ever asked, please raise your hand. Now, that's the problem. Muslims go to mosque, remove their slippers at the door. Christians go to church, remove their brain. Yeah. Think about it. Now, you have been singing this song for God knows how many years. Now, I ask you, even with the answer on the screen, you still cannot... No! No! Okay, 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 okay. Wait now. You see, if you want to copy, copy well. There's something called copyright. Even if you put the answer on the board, some people will still fail the exam. They will copy somebody else's matric number. Now, look at this. The promise of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's the blessing of Abraham. Woo! The promise of the Spirit. That the Spirit of God will not leave the heavens and come to earth until Jesus does his work. That when God promised Abraham a son, what he promised Abraham was not Isaac. It was Jesus. What God promised Abraham. Where, do you know that the same mountain where they almost killed where he offered his son Isaac was the same place where Jesus was crucified. In history. So what God did that day was to do a demo version. Demo version of what will happen when Jesus physically comes down. Oh yeah, let's practice. The way they led him up, that's the way the Father led the Son. So when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Roman soldiers thought they were the ones flogging him and beating him and leading up to a mountain, in the spiritual it was God the Father taking his Son, because God will not allow flesh to taint the work of salvation. He's the one that is paying. I say God is the one paying. God is the one paying. That's why no man can lay a charge on God's elect. I wish somebody is hearing me now. If physically, you will be seeing some tears that the man is a chairman of a Global Groups International in the U.S. and he's doing like this. But in the spiritual, the brother may be having his hands tied. The spiritual reality of that experience is what you should look at. Why the Roman soldiers were beating him and smashing him and flogging him. In the spiritual, it was Father Abraham. In quote, it was God the Father leading his son to the perfect spot, which was where Abraham tried to offer his son as a sacrifice. And when he would have killed him, God said, stop. Mortality cannot provide my sacrifice. Look behind you. And he found another ram that was caught in the thicket. And they said, the Lord has provided for himself. Oh. While we were thinking, oh, if I can only be good. When I was in the north, the Muslims used to teach us then that if your good was better and higher than your bad, God will have mercy on you. And God said, no. Abraham cannot provide me the ram. God already provided a ram that was caught, that could not run away. And God said, that's your Passover lamb. That's your Passover lamb. So the boy went there. The man went there with his son already dead in his mind. But he came back with his son again. Why? Because God has already prepared a Passover lamb. God has prepared the lamb of atonement. God has already prepared someone to take your place. God has already prepared someone to take your cause. God has already prepared someone to take all your pain and the sorrows of your heart. And he prepared that person to willingly take it and hang on the cross for you. So that the promise of Abraham, because when man sinned against God, what it lost was the presence of the Holy Spirit. What Adam lost was the glory of God. What Adam lost was the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. Go back to Galatians 3:13, 14, verse 14. That we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through what? How do we become Christians? By faith in who? Do you realize that when I started this presentation, I first started by addressing the issue of it is not of faith. It is faith. The law is not of faith. To bring us to the point where by the time you stand before God and you say to him, Father, I cannot pay for my sins. There is nothing I can do that can change my status. But today, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in him as the Son of God. I believe in him as the Lamb that was shed before the foundations of the world. And as you begin to declare, that's why when we bring people to Jesus, we don't necessarily confess sins. We confess Jesus. John chapter 3 verse 16. Whosoever believeth in him, not whosoever confesses his sins. It is not your sin that matters. You are already a sinner. It is the sin nature. It is the sin nature, the cloth, that cloth of sin that we need to remove. But after that, if you commit a sin, you must specify that sin and ask for forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, after you become a Christian, if you sin against God, you must, don't say, Father, by adventure I've sinned against you. It's a lie. Father, I was looking at faith in my mind, and my eye was doing one kind. Baba, according to your law, it is the sin of immorality. Father, I have sinned against you. One brother said, if I've done it in my mind, why not kukuma I say you are going to hell. You are going to hell. Forget about it. You are going to hell. You say, why do I need to be punishing myself? I say you are on your way to hell. You are almost, see, one more bus stop and you are there. One more bus stop, they will soon drop you. They will soon drop you at your bus stop. Oh, Jesus. Listen. What Jesus did for us has been under attack by Satan. They have tried to give us many new ways to describe what Jesus has done. They call it Easter bunny. They call it Easter eggs. They call it... they have all kind of funny descriptions. They took away the crown of thorns. You can't take away the crown of thorns. You can't. Who are you? Your own sin. Even that person that is shouting, we don't know he died. It's just a lie. We have already paid for your own sins. That person that is shouting, Jesus is something that the world should forget about. We have paid for your own sins. Now, if we do know these points, if we do believe these things that you are hearing, what manner of men ought we to be? When you live here, Jesus taught us. Mama, he said, do not be afraid of those who can kill this body but cannot touch your soul. Do you know what he was saying? Your soul is with me. Your soul belongs to me. Don't be afraid of somebody that can touch this one. This one, they can touch it. It doesn't mean anything. This one is just carcass. At the end of the day, maybe 100 years, you die. 30 years, even the man talking about it, he died at 33. The one who owes your soul is the one you should be concerned about. And I will come back one day if you remind me and address this issue of he who cannot touch your soul. Because you will now realize I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm talking about your five senses. Because there are people here who Jesus has taken ownership of their soul, but it's not the one controlling their emotions. They look at all those things on Instagram and dance like them. You are born again, but Jesus is not the one controlling your soul. That's why you are getting your inspiration from those Instagram prostitutes. You see, we'll come back to this one. And it's not only ladies, or even guys. When you see a guy just parks his car in one short skit, just comes out and does like this. End of skit. They have preached to you a 3-hour message. Wow. You begin to think like, wow. It just makes a lot of sense after all your suffering that this is who you married eventually. And he's speaking in tongues. He just parks the car. Comes out. He didn't say anything. Just then pastor is telling you, faith, you must marry this pastor. He said, pastor, we have you. Allow me to marry. Because this one, the way he parks the car, with class, with finesse. It is your soul that has been taken. The issue is not whether God wants you to have good things or not. I'm just trying to point to something. How you will know that your soul has been free? It's not when you don't like those things again. Eh? It's when you look at them and you walk away. Not you may even have it, but you go and take Okada. You may have it in your house, but you decide to trek. People say, who wants it? I say, no, let's take it. Don't worry. You just check. Those things have lost their power over you. So when Jesus said, do not be afraid of the man who can touch your body but cannot touch your soul. Some of you are thinking it's your spirit. No. He's talking about your desires. He's talking about the things you choose every day. He's talking about when you feel one kind and you still wear your shoes and go to James' house. That's what he's talking about. The ability to decide that which is righteousness. Okay. That one is not Easter message, so let me leave it. But I believe somebody needed to hear that. I believe somebody needed to hear that. They will not say amen. I was asking Pastor, say, I say, these days when I preach, people don't talk. They just look at me. He said, the kind of message you are preaching is not the kind of message that make people shout hallelujah. I said, okay, I'll go and change. I'll look for new messages. So I was listening to one pastor that preaches on hope, forgiveness. After the thing was not flowing, I just left it. One American man like that, psychologist. When you get to this point in your walk with God, and you look at the cross, that's why I like people who wear the cross. Because every Christian should actually be wearing the cross. It reminds you, in fact, Apostle James in the Bible, the brother who wrote the book of James, in church history, he recommended that believers should wear the sign of the cross. You know why? James said, the cross is the sign of Christ's victory over Satan. That's powerful. He said, it is the sign of Christ's what? Victory. Everywhere you see the cross, remember that was where Satan fell. Hallelujah. So every time you forget who you are, just look at the cross. My master has already defeated this man. Then you draw strength by faith. Hallelujah. Don't forget. Sometimes it's easy to forget, but when you have some of those things around you, you remember. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I have victory. In Christ Jesus. Not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Rise on your feet. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful for your mercies and for your kindness. And we thank you because everyone here has received of your mercy, and we give you glory. As a house, we thank you for mercies in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Now, our second service is going to be a Holy Communion service.